the Boston City Council holding a Tuesday hearing on whether to give the right to vote to non-citizens who are in the U.S. legally. People who would be eligible to vote would include legal permanent residents known as green card holders, DACA recipients, immigrants with temporary protected status, and those who have visas. The council president saying before the hearing began, there wasn't going to be a vote on an ordinance, but simply the start of a conversation. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
People were protesting President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court of the United States even before the president announced it. Congressman Louis Gohmert says this does not make the left look very good.
When you're ready to just lambast anyone, no matter who it is, if a president appoints us, then it's pretty outrageous.
This is USA Radio News.
Breaking news from MyPillow.com. Free shipping when you purchase two premium MyPillows on the two-pack special. Free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. 10-year warranty. Machine washable and dryable. Made in the USA. Click on the two-pack special at MyPillow.com. Enter promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175. Be sure to use promo code USA. Free shipping on the two-pack special. Order now.
President Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh to replace Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court. USA Radio Network's legal analyst Frederick Penny has a few things on Kavanaugh.
In 2003, his confirmation to the D.C. Appellate Court was one of the most contentious and controversial hearings of all times. In fact, it stalled for 3 years over charges that he was had too much partisanship toward the Republican Party. In fact, it's kind of funny because one of the senators called him the Forrest Gump of the Republican Party. So, in fact, that was Dick Durbin. So he's an interesting, seems fairly conservative. He's come out and said in other opinions specifically that he clearly will uphold Roe v. Wade. However, he has discussed in some other opinions a little bit of wiggle room, ruling in favor of some restrictions for abortion. But generally, he's always said he will uphold Roe v. Wade. He was generally against the Affordable Care Act when it came before him. He generally has kind of struck down some Clean Air Act regulations that were eventually overturned by the Supreme Court. So he's generally conservative, and as most people know, he was the clerk for Justice Kennedy.
Penny is host of Radio Law Talk, which can be heard on many of these same USA Radio Network stations. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. United American Patriots support our brave American troops who, for wildly inappropriate reasons, have been jailed for murder by our military because they shot the enemy. That sounds crazy, but it's true. If you find this beyond belief like I did, check their website, unitedpatriots.org. Here's what we have for you this hour. Do you know what a WASP is? You're about to find out. Jane Doyle is one. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to discuss WASPs, and I don't mean airborne bugs that sting you. No, during World War II, our military needed pilots. And being a pilot was considered a man's job, but we ran out of men. So our military created the WASP program, that's Women Air Force Service Pilots, and Jane Doyle was one. I guess she still is one. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Jane.
Thank you. Yes, I'm still a WASP, and I've been telling my story because I'd like people to know more about the WASP. Not too much was known about them for quite a long time. Until just recently, there's been quite a few things about veterans and about the WASP, so I'm anxious to tell my story. The WASP were started by Jack Cochran, and that was in 1938 that President Roosevelt decided that we needed more pilots, and so he started the Civilian Pilot Training Program, and that was for students in colleges and universities across the country. It started out in just three of the major universities, and then it spread to even the smaller ones. And in the summer of 1940, Grand Rapids Community College, which is now was Grand Rapids Junior College at that time, received the grant to have the program in the summer of 1940. I happened to be a student there, and just before the end of my first year, and I was in an engineering drawing class, and the instructor came in and told about the program that to train pilots. And so after the class was over, I went and asked him about women pilots, because at that time it was just mostly the men that were able to sign up. And he said, well, there could be one woman for every nine men. So I said, well, I'd like to apply for it. So I did, and I passed physical and was accepted in the program that summer of 1940. So that summer we had ground school at community college, and that was in the morning. And then the afternoon we flew out at the Kent County Airport, and we had about 70 hours of ground school for CAA. It was Civil Aeronautics Authority at that time. And so it was. We had ground school for the rules and regulations regarding pilots and flying. And then in the afternoon, we went out to the Kent County Airport and had our flying instruction. We were divided into three different groups. So there was 10 men and myself in one group, and there was 10 and two other groups. And I was at Central Air Service, which was on the one side of the entrance to the Kent County Airport, and Northern Air Service was on the other side. There were two other girls that had signed up, and they were in the program at Northern Air Service, and for some reason they didn't pass the flight test, so I was the only one that finished that summer and got my private license.
Jane, were you always interested in flying, or was that something that just struck you as something interesting when you heard the opportunity?
Well, it was something that I was interested in when I heard the opportunity, and I think maybe way back when I saw Lindbergh and when he came to Grand Rapids and Wrong Way Corrigan, and I'd heard about the different Amelia Earhart and Jacqueline Cochran and different ones, and so I thought, well, maybe that sort of influenced me, but I really didn't think about it at the time. Just it was more that when I heard about the program, I thought, well, that's something I'd like to try and do. So I applied, and I did finish that summer.
You know, when opportunity knocks and you answer the door, neat things can happen. And that's what happened. You heard something cool. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing women Air Force service pilots with WASP Jane Doyle. Okay, Jane, what exactly did WASPs do?
Well, we had to go through 7 months training, the same as the cadets. Jacqueline Cochran had set up that program with General Arnold. Now, before that, there was Jacqueline Cochran and Nancy Love, and they had both approached General Arnold to use women. That was in 1940, and in the Lend-Lease program, because Roosevelt had authorized the Lend-Lease program, and they had to supply planes for Britain. It started out mostly as food, but then it was aircraft also. And so they needed pilots to fly the planes, ferry the planes from the factories to the part of debarkation, which was up in Canada. The planes were flown to Maine and then pushed across the border to Canada, but they needed pilots. And it's that CPT program. They had trained several thousand men pilots, but they were being drafted then, but then instead of being drafted, they were going up a line for flight training and going into the Air Corps. At that time, it was the Army Air Corps. It wasn't the Army Air Force. And so most of the men were going into the pilot training program, and Jacqueline Cochran and Nancy Love both approached General Arnold to use women. And he kept saying no. And then later on in 1941, when Japan attacked the United States, they also went back to General Arnold and said they could get women to do the relieve the men for combat. But he kept saying, no, we don't need you. And so they were very persistent and kept after him because they knew that women could be helpful during the war as pilots. And so the Auxiliary Ferry Command started, and that was with Nancy Love, and they just ferried planes. They were under a 90-day civilian contract, and Jacqueline Cochran heard about that, and so she went right back to General Arnold and said she wanted her program started where women would be trained the same as cadets and end up with a military rank and relieve the men for combat duty. It would be flying just in the United States, and some of it would be ferrying planes, but most of it would be other jobs like tow target and navigator training, and it was even drone training and anything that the Air Force had. She wanted women to be able to do the job that was required. So she got the pilot training program started in Houston, Texas, with just a few women. And I think 28 that went to Houston. And she said if they could prove it, that they were capable, she was sure the program would be accepted. And so they did. They didn't have any facilities there at Houston. They only had a few dilapidated planes, and these were small training planes, but the women kept at it and proved that they were capable of flying and following military orders. So then after that program started, every month there was a new program that started. And so each time the program started, it was changed a little bit to extend the time and the training. And then they finally got some decent and better airplanes also.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing women Air Force service pilots, WASP, with WASP Jane Doyle. And we're about to take a break, but when we come back, Jane will be with us, and we're going to continue this conversation. So troops, hit the deck right now and rest. The starting position for the push-up is called the front-leaning rest. Get into the front-leaning rest position and think patriotic thoughts and stay there till we come back. We want you lean and mean. United American Patriots defends U.S. service members who are wrongfully accused of a crime in combat. This includes providing resources for legal representation during investigations, court-martials, the funding of experts, post-trial clemency and hearings, appeals, providing stipends during incarceration, funding family member travel, and facilitating reintegration into civilian society upon release from incarceration. Check UnitedPatriots.org.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can be a battle in itself. The USO provides ways for all of us to support our wounded warriors. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives.
As the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with the Defense Commissary Agency to provide a taste of home to our commissary patrons around the world.
From canned beans to instant oatmeal, the Freedom's Choice brand has all your favorite food items made exclusively for our nation's armed forces and families with the quality, value, and integrity you deserve. Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Most home invasions occur when people are at work between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Because of this, we highly recommend the installation of a home security video surveillance system. These systems are easy to install and cost only a few hundred dollars. They allow you to monitor your home while you're at work via your computer or cell phone. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, the secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Air Force Service Pilot Jane Doyle. So, Jane, they finally decided that women really could fly planes, and you actually did, and you didn't mess everything up. How could that be?
Well, we went to the training, and quite a few of them did wash out. There were about a few over 100 that started each month, and the rate of washout was at about 60-some graduated in each class. And that was about the same as the male cadets also. And the women did prove that they could do it. We had the military check pilots. We were under military orders, and some of them are instructors were civilian instructors, but after about every 20 hours, we had an Army check pilot. And so we had to go through all the procedures that we were required and pass the Army check flight. And so after we started out in primary training, which was with it started with the PT-19 and then went to the PT-17, which was the biplane steerman. And after the 35 hours in that, then we went to the AT-6, which was the advanced trainer. Now, some of the classes had gone right to basic, but we went to the advanced trainer from the primary training. That was the AT-6, and we had to learn to do acrobatics, and we had quite a bit of cross-country training also, because some of the WASPs, the first classes, were going into the ferry command. But then after they proved that they were capable of flying, they decided we could do anything, we had to go through acrobatics and as well as cross-country training. And we did the acrobatics mostly to make sure we knew how to recover from if we got into trouble. And so we had 70 hours in the AT-6 at that time. And then we went back to the basic DT-13 and had our instrument training, and we had 70 hours of instrument training so that we could get our instrument license. And after completing that, then we went back to the AT-6 again, and we had 2,000-mile cross-country, and then finished up our required hours and graduated. There were 25,000 women that had applied to the program, and 1,800 were accepted, and there were 1,072 that actually graduated then. And they were sent to bases all over the country, any Air Corps base. As they say, at that time it was the Air Corps. And so they were sent to any base in whatever base you were sent to while you did the duties that were required there. And I was sent to Advanced Twin Engine School to get checked out of multi-engine. And I worked out of the engineering hangar and was a test pilot for the AT-10, which was the training plane they were using at that time at that field in Seymour, Indiana. From there, I was supposed to go to B-26 tow target, which was in Panama City, Florida. But in June of 44, I had graduated in May of 44. In June of 44, we got notice that the program was going to be disbanded in December because Congress would not pass the legislation to make us a part of the military, even though we had been under the military the whole time during training and at the different bases. But Congress wouldn't approve that we were part of the military. So General Arnold said if it wasn't approved, that he would disband the program in December of 44. So I got orders to go to B-26, and then shortly after, about 2 weeks after, I got the notice that we were going to be disbanded. So I stayed there at Freeman Field then. And the program was disbanded in December of 44. We weren't recognized as military, though, until 1972. It was 1972 that the first girl graduated from the Air Force Academy, and an article came out in the paper that she was the first to fly military planes. So the WASP in Washington and several others got together with Senator Barry Goldwater and General Arnold's son, and got the legislation passed that we had been a part of the military, and President Carter signed it in 1977.
And that was long overdue. This is Colonel Denny Gilliland, Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing WASP with Jane Doyle. So Jane, finally, after all you guys did, after all the miles you flew, all the airplanes you flew, all over the place, for our military, finally in 1972, you are recognized as veterans. You are now as much a veteran as I am, right? You're entitled to all the veterans' benefits. You are recognized for your service. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct. We just got the approval, though, to be buried in Arlington. That had been denied for quite a few years. For a couple of years, we did have that approval, and then one of the secretaries decided we didn't need it, and so for years we couldn't be buried at Arlington with that. And just last year, they approved that, so we can be buried in Arlington now.
Well, certainly the women who stepped forward filled a huge need, because basically what you did, as I recollect, is you flew planes anywhere in the United States, from the manufacturer to a deployment field, test flights, deployment sites. You have them here and they need to deploy somewhere else. You'd fly them there. That's the kind of flying you did. Am I right?
Well, we did everything. It ended up that we weren't doing as much as ferrying as we were other jobs at the different bases, flying personnel from one base to another. And as I say, there was even some women that got checked out in B-29s because the men didn't want to fly them. And so they were flying them. B-29, two of them were checked out by Colonel Tibbetts in the B-29. So then the men decided they would fly it, and the B-26 also wasn't considered a very troublesome plane. They had troubles with the engines. And so a group of women had to go and be trained in the B-26, and they flew those. In fact, they were flying the B-26s in Panama City for Tow Target. And the women that did fly it, they really liked the plane, but it didn't have a very good reputation to begin with. They used to say one a day in Tampa Bay, but the women that did go to B-26 Tow Target, they liked the plane. And they proved that anything that was needed to be done, that they could do it. And even though there were some obstacles, there were 38 that lost their lives. And some of that was while they were ferrying the plane, and they would have mechanical problems. And some were... There was an investigation. They felt there was some mechanical problems at one of the bases, and that was kept quiet because they didn't want to jeopardize the program. But several of the girls lost at the one air base lost their lives. And so if a WASP did lose their life, they weren't considered as part of the military, so they were just shipped home. Some of the classmates had to take up a collection to send their body home, and there couldn't be a flag on the casket or anything at that time. So there was a lot of discrimination. And as I say, the WASP were disbanded in 44 because pilots were coming back from overseas and they wanted the flying jobs. And so they decided to get rid of the WASP and have the combat pilots have the flying jobs. So there was a lot of discrimination in some respects, but in other places the WASP proved they could do it, and they were well accepted.
Jane, that's an awesome story. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for your service to our nation way back then. Thank you for taking the time to share it today. You shared it very clearly. I'm proud to call you friend. Thank you for joining us today.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me, because I like to let people know who the WASP were. Thank you.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Mike Hewitt here. From a long list of unintended consequences that have impacted our lives and our country, the one that concerns me the most is the near absence of academic focus on American history, American government, and civic duty in our public schools. Are there lessons on self-governance or even the very basics of how our states and federal government function? How about the protections afforded us by our Constitution? Anything on civic duty? Or are we to expect our system of self-governance to operate on automatic? According to the Washington Times, 58% of the up-and-coming generation prefer socialism, fascism, or communism, with only 42% favoring capitalism. Quoting from that article, this troubling turn highlights widespread historical illiteracy in American society. Maybe it really was all an unintended consequence, but if we don't do anything about it, that'd be an intentional. Get beyond the obvious at themikehewittshow.com.
USA Radio News.
All the soccer players and coach that were trapped in a Thailand cave were rescued earlier today by Navy SEALs. Dr. Mark Siegel lays out some of the challenges ahead for the boys.
They're going to have flashbacks, my opinion. They're going to have derealization, periods of disorientation. All that can be treated with cognitive behavioral therapy and possibly medication, but therapy is key here, and the earlier the better.
The confirmation battle ahead for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is already beginning. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell took to the Senate floor earlier today.
A number of our Democratic colleagues could not even wait until the president's announcement last night before launching attacks on his nominee. This was, in some cases, quite literally a fill-in-the-blank opposition. They wrote statements of opposition only to fill in the name later. Sadly, this is not a new approach for the far-left special interest groups.
Kavanaugh is set to begin meeting with senators today. This is USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Spartan Nash and their military division, MDV. Spartan Nash is a Fortune 400 company and the fifth largest food distributor in our great country. They have been honored as a veteran-friendly employer with over 800 associates, self-reporting as veterans, guardsmen, or reserves. MDV is the leading distributor of grocery product to U.S. commissaries around the world. And in 2017, they were selected by the Defense Commissary Agency as the exclusive supplier of Freedom's Choice and home-based brands to commissaries. Learn more or check out career opportunities at SpartanNash.com. It's a pleasure now to welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Dick Nopinski. The biggest air show in the world is Air Venture, held this month, every July, in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I've been there twice and plan to go again this year with my good friend and co-host, Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. There's so much to say, it's overwhelming, and to say that is an understatement. Anyway, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Dick.
It's my pleasure. Denny, Roland, so much. It's great to join you here before the big event.
Yeah, Roland, glad you're here with me, too, since you're the guy who flies planes and stuff like that.
Hey, that's the best part of going there is flying in.
Except I have to ride with you. Anyway, Dick, what's your role in Air Venture? You mentioned a title. What's your role and how did you get involved?
Well, officially, it's Director of Communications, which means I handle all of the outgoing communications, things that happen for the staff communications, and most importantly, during Air Venture, dealing with the nearly 1,000 journalists from around the world that come to report on what I like to call aviation's family reunion. So they come from six different continents and all interested in airplanes, and that's where we start things and work from there for an entire week here in Oshkosh.
Yeah, it's this month. What are the dates?
July 23rd through the 29th, so right at the end of the month.
And to say there's aircraft there is an understatement, and military stuff. Roland, you had a question about that.
Yeah, you know, last few years we've had a great opportunity interviewing the Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds, the Canadian Snowbirds. So, you know, Dick, I understand that some of the big-time military folks aren't going to be there this year, but there's still going to be some military aircraft, right?
Oh, there are going to be a lot of military aircraft coming in this year. You know, we've had the jet teams 3 years out of the last four, starting with the Thunderbirds back in 2014, Snowbirds in 2016, and the Blues last year. And there's a lot of work that goes into that, including asking our neighbors on the other side of the airport, both the businesses and the homeowners, if they could move out of their homes and businesses for about an hour and a half to 2 hours each of the 3 days those teams are flying so the aerobatic box is big enough. And you know, that's a relationship that we treasure with our neighbors, so we're not going to put them through that every year. But you talk about military aircraft that are coming in. Everything from a C-5 to a B-1 to a C-17. E-4B is going to be doing some flybys, that mobile aerial command unit. We're going to have F-18s, KC-135s, KC-10s, since it's the year of the tanker this year. So C-130s coming in. Let's see, F-15s, F-16s. I think I'm about a third way through the list right now.
That sounds like a lot of military aircraft to me. And I'm an infantry grunt. The only thing I ever did with airplanes is jump out of them.
Well, and those are the ones simply that are the current military stock. You talk about the historic stuff. We are the world's largest annual gathering of warbird aircraft, the stuff from World War II and Korea and so forth. More than 300 of those come to our event each year.
Well, in my experience, there's more than I could ever even look at. And Oshkosh, Wisconsin is not exactly a really big city, but during that week, the Oshkosh Airport is the busiest airport in the world. I've heard that. Is it true?
That's true. We do become the busiest airport in the world. To give you some idea, at Hartsfield or O'Hare, a typical day, they'll get about 2,400, 2,500 takeoffs and landings, aircraft operations. And that's in a 24-hour day. On our busiest day here at Oshkosh, we'll get 3,300 takeoffs and landings combined, and that's in a 14-hour day. And if you start doing the math, that equates to a takeoff and landing roughly every 10 to 20 seconds here on the runways at Oshkosh.
I've watched it. Your guys know what they're doing. That is awesome. Dick, all this started with a bunch of guys who like to build their own airplanes, the EAA. Take a minute and talk about how it started.
Sure, be glad to. You know, it started back in 1953. A gentleman by the name of Paul Poberesny, high school educated, went into the military as a pilot, was not an officer, so he had to work his way up, and he eventually earned all seven wings that the military offered and flew everything. And he got back after World War II, and he and friends who built airplanes and restored airplanes got together to form an airplane club in 1953 in Milwaukee, and there were about 35 of them. And later that year, in 1953, they had their first little fly-in at a small airport that's now known as Timmerman Airport on the northwest side of Milwaukee. They got 21 airplanes and 150 people. It was so small, they had dinner on Saturday night inside the Miller Brewing Company hangar there at the airport. And, well, it's grown since then. So it was at Milwaukee through the 1950s, moved to Rockford, Illinois in the 1960s, and then kind of outgrew the Rockford Airport. And they were looking around and saw up here in Oshkosh an airport that had two big runways that did not cross, which is kind of unusual when you think about mid-size airports. A lot of room to park airplanes, a lot of room to park cars. It's continued to grow, and now it's become the biggest annual fly-in in the world with a 500,000 people and about 10,000 airplanes that come and join us for the week.
That is true. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the Oshkosh Air Venture with Dick Nepinski. Dick, there's so much that goes on there. My two times there, I don't think I probably saw a total of 10% of what was there. But we've got a couple of minutes left. Give us an overview, besides the military, of what's going to be there.
Okay. We've got everything from antique aircraft. We mentioned some of the big military aircraft. Well, on the opposite end, we've got ultralights that come in. We've got the Warbird aircraft. We have custom-built aircraft. More than 1,000 of them come each year. Vintage aircraft. If you're a biplane fan, boy, we've got them here too. Matter of fact, we've got some World War I replicas and reproductions coming this year. This year, the 100th anniversary of the Royal Air Force coming in. And so, you know, you've got all of these airplanes coming in, daily afternoon air shows. We've got two night air shows as well on Friday, the 25th, and Saturday, the 28th. So all of that taking place.
So that's going to be a busy time. By the way, it is this month. It's just a couple of weeks away. Is it too late for people to come to this? Do people register? Talk to us about if there are some folks around the country that would like to come. How do you do it?
We would love to have folks from all over the country come. Matter of fact, we get visitors from 80 different countries each year. And the best way to do, go to our website. Very simple to remember, eaa.org. Just six letters and a dot between them, eaa.org. Click on the Air Venture tab. You'll see everything you need to know about admission. If you want a week-long passes, a couple of days, whatever it is, you can even camp either next to your airplane or there's a drive-in campground where we welcome about 30,000 people each year camping adjacent to everything. Bring in the motorhome. You can park right there and enjoy an entire week. So you can find out all about that, tickets, camping, everything else you need to know.
You know, Dick, that's going to be fantastic. And for those people who didn't know this, the Colonel and I are also going to be there. We're going to be flying in and camping at the airplane at Air Venture this year. So if you're going to be coming out, make sure to let us know. We'd love to get together with you at Air Venture this year.
That's absolutely true. Dick, take a minute now and wrap it up for us. Give us a quick summary of Air Venture. What's going to be there? What are we going to see? What's the experience?
Okay, Air Venture, it's the 66th annual fly-in convention for the EAA, and it's taking place July 23rd through the 29th at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It is a collection of people and airplanes that you will see no place together like this anywhere else on Earth, from the biggest military transport from like the C-5 all the way down to the smallest ultralight. We have drones, we've got electric aircraft, new innovation, 800 exhibitors, daily air shows, and about 10,000 airplanes and a half million of our closest friends.
And there really are that many, because I've been there and there's no end to it. It's awesome. It's more fun than you can shake a stick at. Dick, thank you for taking time to join us today, for to share with us, and thank you for your service to our nation by making this amazing event happen. It's awesome. Thank you, friend.
Oh, my pleasure, and we'll see you out on the flight line at Oshkosh.
Yes, you will. We'll both be there. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be at about 100 pounds by now. Do 60 bench presses. I want you combat ready. Then stand at ease.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A recent survey found 65% of Americans use a rewards credit card, yet many don't utilize their full benefits. International travel expert Lee Abamonte explains how your banking relationship can boost your credit card rewards.
Many credit cards reward you for spending. I love the Bank of America Premium Rewards credit card because I earn 2 points for every dollar I spend on dining and travel purchases. Above and beyond those base points, I recommend you also check to see if you qualify for a banking rewards program to really maximize your rewards earnings. For example, if you're enrolled in the Bank of America Preferred Rewards program, you could earn between an additional 25 to 75% in bonus points with the Premium Rewards card, which totals up to 3.5 points for every dollar spent on travel and dining purchases. Plus, Preferred Rewards clients may be eligible for an additional benefits such as free withdrawals at non-Bank of America ATMs, as well as discounts on home and auto loans.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living Consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Roland, what's the first comment?
Okay, Colonel, Patty from Kansas really enjoyed the interview with the lady from Gold Star Families. She heard of Gold Star Families but really didn't know what they were. She felt so dumb when she learned the whole story.
Patty, I understand. I too learned a few things from that interview. Don't feel dumb. Do continue learning.
Also, Jim, who's a Marine vet and a sports nut, well, he wants to know when you're going to start covering Service Academy football again this year.
Jim will likely start interviewing the coaches in early August, so we'll be ready when the first games begin. We'll cover the games every week through the entire season. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, the other day while I was thinking about the good old days when I was a company commander in the 101st Airborne Division back when I was young, the 101st had been alerted for deployment to Vietnam. It was now October 1967. We were deployed in December. I had one young trooper who was a total goof-off. We were in the process of having him thrown out of the Army as a misfit. The paperwork is being processed. Then we were told that all troops must be granted 2 weeks of pre-deployment leave just in case they were going to be going. We started sending people on leave. We delayed goof-off's leave, believing that my authorization to discharge him would come down. Finally, we had to send him on leave. While he was gone, the discharge paperwork did arrive. Of course, just to show us he would never do what we told him, he came back from his leave 3 days late. The first sergeant and I had discussed this. When he came in, he was brought before me, and he had a smirk on his face. I produced the paperwork for the discharge and went over it with him. Then I told him if he'd come back on time, he'd been discharged by now. Then I tore up the paperwork and threw it in my wastebasket. He was shocked beyond belief. Then his platoon sergeant and squad leader showed up. I told Goofaw he was going to Vietnam. Further, he was going to have the worst and most dangerous jobs available over there, and finally, if he disobeyed a single order, I'd have him court-martialed and jailed in Vietnam. I know I didn't have to court-martial him in Vietnam, so I guess he decided to grow up. He certainly wasn't the first or last person to grow up while in uniform. Score one for the good guys.
That actually sounds like something that you would see on a movie, Colonel. I don't know.
Well, I don't remember having to interact with the guy at all, so clearly he was not a goof-off.
And clearly he grew up.
One hopes. Now it's time for military history. Lead out, Roland.
On 10 July 1777, during the Revolutionary War, Colonel William Barton of the Rhode Island Patriot Militia captured British General Richard Prescott from his bed during the early morning hours. Prescott was the only British general to suffer the embarrassment of being captured twice by Patriot forces during the War for Independence. American forces first captured Prescott after Montreal fell to the Patriots in 1775. His return to the British in exchange for a Patriot officer, only to face the same plight 2 years later when he awoke to find Barton's men in his garrison in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. Colonel Barton and his 40 men departed under the cover of darkness on the night of July 9th and proceeded silently across 10 miles of water in Narragansett Bay. Evading British warships by staying close to shore, the Patriots were able to completely surprise Prescott's sentinels shortly after midnight on July 10th. They took the general, who was the British commander for Rhode Island, directly on board a Patriot vessel without even giving him the opportunity to dress.
So I guess he streaked in, huh? And on 12 July 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed into law a measure calling for the awarding of a U.S. Army Medal of Honor in the name of Congress to, quote, such non-commissioned officers and privates as shall most distinguish themselves by their gallantry in action and other soldier-like qualities during the present insurrection. The previous December, Lincoln had approved a provision creating a U.S. Navy Medal of Valor, which was the basis of the Army's Medal of Honor. The first soldiers to receive what would become the nation's highest military honor were six members of a Union raiding party who in 1862 penetrated deep into Confederate territory to destroy bridges and railroad tracks between Chattanooga, Tennessee and Atlanta, Georgia. In 1863, the Medal of Honor was made a permanent military decoration available to all members of our military, including commissioned officers. It is conferred upon those who have distinguished themselves in actual combat at risk of life beyond the call of duty. Since its creation during the Civil War, almost 3,400 men and one woman have received the Medal of Honor for heroic actions in U.S. military conflict.
Then on 11 July 1941, Congress reconfirmed the military status of the Coast Guard, stating, quote, "The Coast Guard shall be a military service and constitute a branch of the land and naval forces of the United States at all times and shall operate under the Department of Treasury in times of peace and operate as part of the Navy, subject to the orders of the Secretary of Navy, in times of war or when the President shall so direct."
Roland, I heard a Coastie tell me once that the Coast Guard was that highly combat-effective brand around which the Navy rallies in time of war.
I have way too many Navy friends to say that. However, it sounds like it makes sense.
On July 9, 1947, General Dwight Eisenhower appointed Florence Blanchfield to be a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, making her the first woman in U.S. history to hold permanent military rank. A member of the Army Nurse Corps since 1917, Blanchfield had served as superintendent of the Army Nurse Corps during World War II and was instrumental in securing passage of the Army-Navy Nurse Act. In 1978, a U.S. Army hospital at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, was named in her honor. And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
In another example of how gun empowers a woman, a South Carolina woman used a 9mm handgun to protect her boyfriend from a deadly threat by an attacker armed with a shotgun and a garrote. The thug was one of two people who forced their way into the home. The incident started with a loud knocking caused the male homeowner to crack the door to peek outside. The door was pushed in, shoving the resident against the wall hard enough that the drywall cracked, according to a video news report. The intruders threatened the people inside the house, and during the ensuing struggle, the homeowner's girlfriend fired two shots, killing one of the bad guys and causing the others to flee.
Thanks, Colonel. According to the Women's Self-Defense Institute, the crime statistics show that about 31 million total crimes are reported in the U.S. annually. That's about one crime per second. Victim rates of violent crimes have increased. Without warning, a situation can turn from safe to sorry, turning you not only into a victim, but the top news story of the day. And most people who are victimized never imagined that crime would ever happen to them. It always seems to happen to the other person. The crime stats indicate that in the next hour, somewhere in the U.S., the following will happen. 900 thefts, 189 violent crimes, 124 assaults, 66 robberies, 24 sexual assaults, 12 rapes, and two murders. Is it any wonder that more and more women are getting trained in the legal use of deadly force and then getting armed? I think not. And this is one boyfriend that I'm sure is glad his girlfriend knew how to take out the trash. When properly coordinated, you and your spouse should compose half a fire team. You sleep together, you eat together, you may even work together. So, why not use deadly force together? I think it's incredibly romantic. My wife and I sometimes shoot together and often train together by discussing what we should do in a given self-defense scenario. If a husband and wife are going to work together as a team, then you need to know what the other person is going to do should an attack occur. When you're sitting at dinner or lying in bed or just driving down the freeway, discuss together in detail what you would do in the following attack scenarios: attempted carjacking, parking lot mugging, an ATM attack, or even a child kidnapping attempt. These are just a few of the major criminal attacks that you could face as a family. Discuss together whether you are legally justified in using deadly force in your jurisdiction, then decide what tactics the two of you should use. Then fine-tune the tactics to make sure both of you are on the same page. If you want to keep your marriage strong, then it's very important that you talk to one another. It's the same with self-defense. If you want to work as a team, then both of you need to communicate so you know what to expect and how to respond to any given attack. This lady did a great job by herself, but she could have done even better if her and her man had worked together as a military team.
Thank you, Skip. Our movie this month is I'm Staying With My Boys, the story of World War II hero John Messalone. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, to the blog, and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month. And I'd really appreciate receiving your input. Send it to denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Our book giveaway this week is Mike Guardia's Hal Moore on Leadership,
To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Hal Moore on Leadership in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll learn about CAV, the Canadian Army Veterans Organization, and particularly their motorcycle unit. We'll also talk about our VA with Han and Hugh from the Concerned Veterans for America.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of the show, well, guess what? All of our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We'd also like to especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Do join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed. As the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with the Defense Commissary Agency to be the exclusive supplier of Freedom Choice and home-based products to our commissary patrons around the world.
These brands allow our military service members, veterans, and their families to stretch their commissary benefit, offering you the quality you expect and the savings you deserve. Through Freedom's Choice and Homebase, we're serving our best.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a soldier as a parent, is an unfamiliar luxury. To learn more about the Fisher House Foundation and how you can help, go to fisherhouse.org today.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
All the soccer players and coach that were trapped in a Thailand cave were rescued earlier today by Navy SEALs. Dr. Mark Siegel lays out some of the challenges ahead for the boys.
They're going to have flashbacks, my opinion. They're going to have derealization, periods of disorientation. All that can be treated with cognitive behavioral therapy and possibly medication, but therapy is key here, and the earlier the better.
The confirmation battle ahead for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is already beginning. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell took to the Senate floor earlier today.
A number of our Democratic colleagues could not even wait until the president's announcement last night before launching attacks on his nominee. This was, in some cases, quite literally a fill-in-the-blank opposition. They wrote statements of opposition only to fill in the name later. Sadly, this is not a new approach for the far-left special interest groups.
Kavanaugh is set to begin meeting with senators today. This is USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's super easy to take, and it's even healthy for you. You just take it at bedtime, and it does all the work for you.
You're joking!
No, I'm not joking, and you're going to feel good taking it.
So I got the Calitrin, and I got into pants that I had not been into in a year and a half. It also took my hot flashes away.
Hey, this is Jack, and I've been using Calitrin. I used to go to the chiropractor at least once a week. The Calitrin has definitely helped me, and I definitely recommend it to anybody.
This is Lynn. I've been on Calitrin, and I love it, and I've lost 45 pounds.
So where can I get Calitrin?
You can go to their website at toploss.com, or you can call them at 833-TOP-LOSS.
Boston is thinking about letting people who aren't U.S. citizens vote in city elections. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
The Boston City Council holding a Tuesday hearing on whether to give the right to vote to non-citizens who are in the U.S. legally. People who would be eligible to vote would include legal permanent residents known as green card holders, DACA recipients, immigrants with temporary protected status, and those who have visas. The council president saying before the hearing began, there wasn't going to be a vote on an ordinance, but simply the start of a conversation. For U.S.